Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, Episode 5. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter.
And you can also reach out to us via Gmail at sideactionpod@gmail.com.
So how was your weekend?
It was pretty good, Wegs. I got out and played a little flag football on Saturday. The Shockers had their opening week game, and we lost pretty handily.
Yeah, I think the over-under in that game was probably about 35. I think they scored 38 points.
Yeah. Our QB1 retired last season, so we're in search of a new quarterback. And unfortunately, I drew the short straw to start in week one.
Yeah, you did your best. You had a good TD drive early, just a few picks, and that, yeah, it was a rough game.
We started out taking the lead 7-6, but then the ensuing second quarter and third and fourth quarters did not fare so well. 5 interceptions, and it was 38-7.
It was awful. But hey, we got out there, we knocked off the rust. More importantly, we went to Rinaldi's, got some pizza and some beer, or whatever. I don't know what you had. You're Mr. Keto. But yeah. It was good food, good times. We had a good time.
It was a great weekend. Good weekend in the books, too, for me. I'm not sure how you fared overall.
Yeah, I did really well. I've been doing okay. We'll talk a little more about my bets specifically later. But I hit on some big wins this weekend.
Oh, do you want to tell us a little bit about your game day routines for college football and NFL?
Yeah, for college, it's pretty simple. I'm not a huge college watcher. However, as Action mentioned, we play flag football, Lincoln Park Southfields, every Saturday morning, and we always head over to Rinaldi's. There's a plug for Rinaldi's. We get some pizza. They've got a million TVs in there. We watch some games. You've obviously got a ton of action on the games. And we usually good amount of day drinking till at least 3-4 in the afternoon until maybe I'll go home and take a nap and watch the games at home later.
Yeah, it's fun to catch those early games. They're sitting at the bar with Edgar pouring up the margaritas right. And the Bloody Marys in the morning.
Now, obviously, it's a Wisconsin bar, so we headed out early on Saturday, thank goodness, because Wisconsin, they took it in the face there, didn't they?
Yeah, it's too bad we didn't stay. I would have quite enjoyed to see all those long Badger fan faces in the bar.
Start cheering for BYU as loud as we could. That'd be great. For the NFL, I am a huge fantasy guy, as we've discussed. I'm kind of, like I said, a little bit like a crackhead with my phone. I'm checking a million things beforehand, during the game, either on the ticket or just watching the games. I am checking my scores. I'm checking the bets. I'm kind of on there fully engrossed in the games. Every now and then I got to take that Sunday off because it's kind of a sensory overload.
Do you sit back in the recliner with the blinds closed, kind of like a cave? Or
it's a little bit like that, yes. I have the blinds closed. I'm kind of like a shut-in from 11 to 11, typically, yes. How about yourself? What do you do?
I get up way early to get in and check last-minute things. I go through my routine, all of my pools and entries, fantasy teams, and then check the lines last-minute, get some more plays in. But after that, I'm sitting back in the recliner with the laptop in front of me and really watching the games. I don't do too much in terms of social media or checking this or that during the games. I'm trying to watch the Red Zone channel. Then later on in the afternoon, once it slows down a little bit, I'll jump on and do a little more computer research. I do like to check those college football spreads when they come out about 2 p.m. Sure. Central also.
Okay.
Bet Online is the earliest with college football lines, and there are some good numbers to be had if you're on there right around 2 o'clock. They don't last very long, I can tell you that much.
Okay, it's good to know. I'll have to check that out. I mean, for me, as I said, I'm figuring everything out, but I'm plugged in. And you know, one of the things I've noticed, I cut the cord recently doing streaming. I think you do that too. A little bit of delay for me, especially on the TV from my phone. I'm always seeing the score before I actually see it on the TV, which is, I don't know if I like that or not.
Yeah, it can get a little annoying sometimes, especially with the bet notifications that pop up. I see a touchdown on my phone and then look up and say, oh, there it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's great. I like those routines. So let's go over the rest of the podcast. We'll go over our head-to-head from last week. We'll talk about the NFL recap, which was a lot of information. We do have some questions in the mailbag this week. Then we'll go to college football. We can review and then look ahead. And then we'll talk about some bets and how you can make some bets in college. Finally, we'll dig into the NFL bets this week and do our head-to-head segment. Have I missed anything?
No, I think that does it. I might have a couple of soccer tidbits at the end. Nothing major, but one game I was eyeing for this weekend.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, let's dig into the head-to-head. I am not the expert on this podcast, but I am doing quite well in the head-to-head so far.
Yeah, I think I have you tallied up to a commanding 11-5 lead after a 4-0 week. I'd like to pat you on the back for that.
Yeah, I got a couple of them were lucky. I was all in on LSU this week, and I can talk about the bet now. I actually won on the money line for LSU as well. That kick won me some money. I think it was plus 285, so that was great. So I was excited on Bet Online when I saw that come in. LSU's got a great defense. Auburn's quarterback is a little suspect to me. Certainly, I thought Auburn was going to win the game, but I thought it was a good spot to take a chance on it, given the S&P Plus rating.
Yeah, obviously, that turned out really well for you. That was a great bet. And even though Joe Burrow didn't look too phenomenal, I think his passing percentage was under 45%, they were still able to pull out the win with that late-minute field goal.
Now, we did notice that they actually dropped in the S&P Plus this week, which is a little weird, but I think it's because of that offensive inefficiency that you see there.
Yeah, and for those of you with Auburn futures tickets, you can go ahead and rip those up because their schedule is brutal the rest of the season, and I don't see them going too far.
Yeah, probably not going to make the Final Four with that. In the second game, we had Alabama and Ole Miss. We had the over with 70.5. That was looking great at halftime.
I cannot believe that game didn't go over. That was an epic bad beat. Alabama, first of all, Ole Miss on the first play from scrimmage throws a 75-yard touchdown, Jordan Tamu, on the first play. And I looked over and said, this is a lock. Alabama goes on to take a 49-7 halftime lead.
Yep.
And all we needed was another 14, 15 points to go over in the second half. And sure enough, what did they do? They blanked Ole Miss in the second half. A defensive touchdown and two field goals was all they got. And the total ended up at 62-7,
yeah.
A point and a half short.
Yeah, I think you sent me a text at some point after the LSU win, and you said, "Oh, it's okay, we'll be 1-1." You know, I think it was at that time like 42-7, and I thought you were right. I mean, there's no way that they're not going to score those points. They obviously took their foot off the gas pedal. I was thinking maybe they're going to call in, you know, the manager to be the quarterback or something to not run it up too far, I guess.
Yeah, Tavo has definitely been able to rest out a little bit. Jalen Hurts has gotten some time, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle that QB situation going forward.
For sure. So the next game was New England going to the Jags. I was strong on the Jags. I will be all year, and they came through for me. They should have bet the money line in that game, too. I didn't. I did bet the game, so they obviously covered the spread. They won 31-20. They dominated the game. I mean, to be honest with you, New England didn't look like they were ready to play down there in the 97-degree heat. I understand Brady doesn't like the heat. He likes the cold. So, it was just a dominating performance, and Brady was held in check.
Yeah, it's more difficult to deflate footballs in 90-degree Jacksonville heat, I think.
The other thing I saw in that game, Blake Bortles played really well. He threw for over 300 yards. He had commanded the offense, and if they can do that, they're going to come through in my futures pick for sure.
It seems like Jacksonville has New England's number quite a bit. Obviously, the Patriots were able to come back and win that AFC Championship game last year, but they took it to them on Sunday. And the thing I was most impressed with was they never took their foot off the gas.
Right.
They kept attacking and dropping back and throwing the ball. I think Bortles had over 40 pass attempts, which mm-hmm. was shocking when you mm-hmm. looked at the box score later on. And I got to tell you, I think that we may have started to witness the end of the Patriots dynasty.
Ooh.
In that game. And what do they do? Turn around on Monday morning and trade for Josh Gordon?
It's crazy.
That sounds like an overreaction to Bill Belichick realizing that they're on the downtrend.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about Josh Gordon. We can talk a lot about that later if you want, but Gordon may be the answer, probably not. I can't see him staying on the Patriots with their rules, but they decided to get rid of Brandon Cooks. They didn't want to pay the guy. You know, they didn't know about the Edelman suspension at the time, but they basically offloaded all these receivers. They think they can do it with anybody, it's going to backfire at some point. You got to have talent out there, especially when you're facing a very talented Jags team, mm-hmm. where who's basically across the field, they've got all number one picks or just top flight talent. So I agree with you. They had their number. Maybe Coughlin has got a blueprint to beat that team. I mean, he did it with the Giants, and maybe he's just passing it on to Doug Marrone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we'll talk about Josh Gordon later on. I've got some betting odds okay. in terms of his roster status that I'd like to talk about.
Would love that. All right, last game was the Giants at Dallas. Actually, we're both on the Giants in this game. For the head-to-head, I was lucky enough to get Dallas. The Giants looked terrible. Eli looked like a deer in headlights. He was awful. And, I mean, they couldn't protect him, but he wasn't good. Beckham got some passes, but, man, that was a bad game for them.
Yeah, I had to turn it off early on in the third quarter because it was so disastrous to watch. All they were doing was dunking it down to Saquon Barkley. I think he had 14 catches in the game to match Christian McCaffrey from earlier in the day. Wow. But they just couldn't move the ball. I had no faith that they were going to find the end zone and come back in that game, so I went to bed.
Yeah, and it was a make-right game for Dallas. They came home. They're not really good at home, to be honest with you, in Jerry's world, so it was a little bit of a surprise, but they were the better team. Their defense is actually looking pretty good, what I would say there, but the Giants' first week when they played the Jags, I guess the Jags just didn't go all in on offense. They just kind of played enough to win the game, and in this case, the Giants, I don't know, I thought they were going to be a lot better than they are.
Yeah, one thing that I took away from this game is I'll be looking at both of these teams as under teams. Mm-hmm. Both defenses are pretty tough, and their offenses are just dreadful. They're not going to put up too many points very often.
For sure. All right, well, let's move to the NFL general recaps. I see you got kickers had an ugly day. It's true.
I sat in my recliner all day and just watched kick after kick miss. Extra points, field goals, game-winning field goals. Yep. Second chance at a game-winning field goal for Carlson, and they missed kick after kick. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, Zane Gonzalez also cost the Cleveland, you know, the first win of the year. That kick by Carlson from 35 yards was just atrocious, though.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers' look on his face after that kick miss was just classic. He just had a blank stare. He was like, well, I guess we tied. And then he walked out there to shake Cousins' hand.
Yeah, when Zimmer for the Vikings, the coach, was asked after the game, you know, should he have gone for the touchdown or whatever, he's like, well, I thought the guy was going to kick it in. I mean, it's his job. It's a 35-yard kick. Well, he's out of work now.
Yeah, I think the Vikings are getting a new kicker along with the Browns this week.
That's right. I think Dan Bailey went to the Vikings. So, all right, you got the Miami Dolphins out 2-0. Yeah, their defense is actually looking pretty good.
The Dolphins are legit. They're able to run the ball, and Tannehill is looking like he's back to his old form, and Adam Gase has got that team clicking.
Yeah, you know, the Dolphins were in the playoffs a couple years ago, so it's not like they were terrible for a few years. They had a down year last year with Smokin' Jay Cutler under center. But, yeah, they have a decent defense. Obviously, the Jets were maybe a one-hit wonder in week one. But we'll see how they go going forward. The Dolphins could be tougher than we thought.
I would like to see them challenge New England for the AFC East crown.
Wouldn't we all?
The next thing I'd like to discuss is Patrick Mahomes' record-breaking start. Can you believe that, kid? 10 touchdowns through 2 weeks, and he looks unstoppable right now.
Here's the other key stat. 0 interceptions, buddy.
Yeah.
He's 10-0 with the interceptions. He hasn't thrown more than 30 passes in a single game, yet he's thrown 10 touchdowns. That's just impressive. The guy is dialed in. All I can say is I trust a guy whose dad was a professional baseball player, pitcher, and his godfather is also a professional pitcher. He obviously knows how to target the receivers with the ball.
Mm-hmm. The Chiefs are going to be formidable going forward. However, I think that we'll expect to see some inflated lines on them in the next few weeks.
Yeah, they got a big line this week because their defense is terrible. I mean, that line was 53 or something like that, 52.5 going in for the over-under, and then they scored 79 points with the Steelers. That was a shootout, epic shootout.
As of this recording, the total in that KC game this week is up to 56.
That's a big number. Whew. But they could push it.
How about the Cleveland Browns looking to try to tie once again down there in the dome against New Orleans Saints?
Well, I think we might have mentioned this before. The Browns' defense is actually pretty good, and they played great against the Steelers, just forcing 6 turnovers. I guess I understand the Saints didn't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter. They only had 3 points through 3 quarters, so that's a legit defense. Just got to figure out a way to finish the game. Yeah, you're right. Obviously, Zane Gonzalez missed those field goals. and they almost tied again, but no, they came out with the loss. But I think this team's going to win some games this year.
Yeah, you also have to question New Orleans a little bit. I expected that they would be a much better team. Their defense showed up a little bit better yesterday, but that offense looks like it's really running on fumes right now. Kamara is kind of the only back they have now. I think they're really going to be looking forward to get Ingram back in the lineup.
Yeah, the offense isn't quite as dynamic as last year, which happens sometimes. And Michael Thomas, he's getting like 15 targets a game or something like that. So they need to diversify for sure. How about your boy, Ryan Fitzmagic?
Fitzmagic and Tampa Bay are just killing Giants left and right.
Did you wear, in the postgame press conference after the Shockers lost, did you wear something like Fitzmagic did?
No, I think I put on my Purdue t-shirt.
That was some outfit. I guess it was DeSean Jackson's outfit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
You let him borrow it?
He did. He had his chest hair out and the medallion and the sunglasses. That was priceless. Dude is lighting it up.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. 8 yards per play through two games. Their explosiveness has been off the charts. However, I think that's a little bit of a flash in the pan. It's going to be hard for them to pull that off week in and week out. Mm-hmm. But as long as DeSean Jackson is on the field, he's a home run threat at any moment.
So you got some odds for Fitzmagic staying as the quarterback for the season.
Yeah, I was interested to see BetOnline post yesterday that Fitzmagic is the minus 400 favorite to be the week 4 starter in Tampa Bay. And Jameis Winston is a +250 underdog.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that Fitzpatrick has control of the offense. Now, granted, they're playing the Steelers this week. They actually play the Bears in week 4, so we'll see what happens if he's actually going to give up that job. But he's playing better than Jameis could, for sure.
I think one small factor in this line, though, is the short week going into week 4. The Bears play on Monday night this week and then turn around on Sunday, so Fitzpatrick may be out there, but I'll be more interested in week 5.
Yeah, I agree. All right, you got Aaron Rodgers. He did look good again. Granted, they should have lost the game. We talked about the missed field goal. But he got it done against a good Vikings defense. I mean, they're good.
Yeah, I went back and watched the game replay yesterday, just specifically looking at Aaron Rodgers, and I was impressed at how well he was moving in the pocket, actually. And he actually had 3 running plays, too, a couple of which he picked up 8 or 9 yards and a first down. So He was way more mobile than I expected. And after watching him warm up yesterday, I logged in quickly and bet on Minnesota. Thankfully, it was on the money line, so it turned out to be a push. But the Packers are going to be good going forward, and Aaron Rodgers is certainly going to get more healthy as each week goes on.
They also get Aaron Jones back from the suspension, which should help balance out the offense a little bit. They only score 1 offensive touchdown against Minnesota. Minnesota's a great defense. Now, they did get a punt block touchdown that really helped, and then Mason Crosby had a career day kicking. But you're right. They've got past Minnesota for the first time. They'll play them again. It looks like the Bears will be a tough defense in the division. Detroit will not. I think the Packers are going to look good down the stretch.
One super surprising outcome on Sunday was how Houston Texans lost to Blaine Gabbert and the Tennessee Titans.
Unbelievable.
I couldn't believe when I saw that Mariota wasn't going to play that the Lions stuck at 3 and the Houston Texans just couldn't get it done. They outgained Tennessee 437 to 283 in total yards, but they just could not find the end zone.
Sean Watson lit it up. I mean, he had 300 plus yards passing, 40 yards plus rushing. You're right, they couldn't get it done, but what happened was the Titans, they got a special teams touchdown pass, 66-yard touchdown pass. They just put the ball, you know, on the ground and just kind of ground and pound, grinded that clock down, and with Houston not getting in the end zone, they got the win. I mean, it was kind of crazy.
Yeah, I have a bone to pick with Deshaun Watson there at the end of the game. 18 seconds left on the clock, and he scrambles around for 15 of them and then throws it down to Hopkins. Just terrible time management there.
Yeah, you just need to take your lumps, throw it out of bounds, and get another play in. All right, so I guess we have some questions from the listeners.
Yeah, one question from a proud Ohio State Buckeye fan. He wants to know, what happens in a survivor pool if the team you pick, aka the Cleveland Browns, tie? What happens to your selection?
Well, it looks like you lose, Mike. Sorry, Mikey. He was also QB1, the one that retired, so we kind of blame him for our loss on Saturday. So you're out with Cleveland, unfortunately. You have to win to survive in the survivor pool. And again, there was another tie this week with Minnesota and the Packers, so if you probably stayed away from that game in survivor, but you would have lost then too. Second question, So what happens to season win total bets if games get canceled, as what happened this weekend with the Hurricane Florence?
A number of games were canceled this past weekend due to the hurricane down in the southeast. And unfortunately, at all books, if you have a situation where a game is canceled, then the bet is voided or refunded. It's a stipulation in most books that all games must be played as scheduled. And if they don't get rescheduled and played later in the season, then it becomes a refund and canceled out. So unfortunately, for those of you who may have bet the under in some of those poorer teams, even though they're definitely going under now, you're just going to get your money back.
Yeah. At least you didn't lose the money, I guess.
That's true. A push is better than a loss.
So I had a question. I've been listening to some other stuff, the VSiN network on Sirius Radio. They keep on talking about handle. So what does the term handle mean for betting?
Handle refers to the amount of volume in terms of dollars that sportsbook are processing each week or each month or each certain amount of time period on a given sport. So when you hear gamblers or sports people talk about a handle, that just simply means the amount of wagers that are wagered on any given sport.
And the handle being the dollar amount?
Yeah, the dollar amount that gets wagered.
Okay, okay,
gotcha. So you'll hear over and over again in the news more recently how Vegas and books in Nevada are hitting record handles, and that just goes to speak onto how gambling is becoming more mainstream in our media and our national conscious.
Okay, and that's true. And we've been talking about it. I mean, everybody's picking against the spread. Everybody's putting in bets. I know that the new states, like New Jersey, is just hitting some pretty high numbers as well for bets. So
after the first couple of weeks of the football season, I'd be really interested to see how the handle compares in Nevada to those gaming places in New Jersey and Mississippi and West Virginia now, to see if there's some buzz and some handle that's getting generated there.
I think I need to do some research.
Other times you'll hear them talk about the hold too, which is similar to handle, only the hold means the amount of dollars that they're actually winning on those bets. Okay. So the handle is the wagered amount and the hold is the amount they're winning.
Meaning typically, the sports
books. The sports books are holding a lot more than they're giving. So,
as we were talking about the big fight, the Triple G Canelo fight, I was listening to the guys that were talking about on this VSiN network, and they were saying, you know, they were asking the guy from the book, you know, how were you going to do if it was going to go to decision or before? And they said as soon as it went to decision, they were good. I guess their hold was high.
Yeah. I imagine that's because all the people who took the prop bets on so-and-so to win in middle rounds, whether it was Canelo knocking out Triple G or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once it went to decision, they were money.
I couldn't believe the outcome of that boxing match. I had some money on Triple G on Saturday night when it ticked down to 155, and I thought he clearly was the winner of the fight. I don't know if you saw it, Wags.
I didn't see the fight. I was following it on Twitter, and people were just slamming the decision. You know, boxing is always a little bit suspect in my mind. It's obviously with judges, but this one I heard, it was pretty clear. So I don't know. What did you see when you actually saw the actual fight?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly realized that Triple G could have attacked a little bit more and gone after Canelo a little bit. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that point. But still, if you watch the fight, he clearly had the run of the punches in the late rounds. And in my opinion, he clearly should have won that match. Canelo definitely took rounds one and two. But throughout the middle and the late rounds, Triple G was going after him and landed more punches.
So probably a rematch?
I don't know. It sounds like Triple G may be retiring, actually. Oh. So it'll be interesting to see what goes on. I'd love to see Mayweather fight Canelo again, although I think he's too scared to do that.
Oh, really? But he is going to fight Pacquiao.
Yeah, it sounds like it. He's trying to – he took some of the thunder away on Saturday by announcing he wants to fight Pacquiao. So we'll see if that actually comes to fruition.
Another big payday for sure. All right, let's move on to the college recap. We had our local teams in the Big Ten. They're not good.
Yeah, it was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day for the Big Ten. Wisconsin, Northwestern, Nebraska, Purdue, Illinois, Rutgers, Maryland all lost at home this weekend. It was ugly.
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin obviously losing at home to BYU was a killer. But yeah, Nebraska, they're 0-2, 0-3 now? 0-2 for sure.
Obviously, with the loss of Adrian Martinez, their quarterback, they're just a different team. And at home to Troy is an ugly loss for the record.
Yeah, I just can't imagine Nebraska. You know, obviously they were not in the Big 10 back in the day, but they were just, they won 11 games every year, 10 games every year. So now that they're opening up, losing to Troy, I don't know, it's unbelievable. And your Purdue Boilermakers, they just can't get it done, huh?
Yeah, it was a wild game down in West Lafayette Saturday night. Points aplenty, yards aplenty, but Purdue just had one too many penalties again, and it cost them big time in that loss to Missouri. Although I was mostly alarmed by the Wisconsin performance. BYU is a team that they probably should have handled. They stepped up and really went toe-to-toe with the Badgers. And as we talked about last week, they do have some older guys on their team. Obviously, they've come back from their Mormon trip. But Squally Canada rumbled for over 100 yards and two touchdowns. Great name,
yes, Squally. Squally. Well, you still feel okay with your Final Four pick with Wisconsin?
They're certainly capable of running the table and getting into the Big Ten Championship. And if they beat Ohio State there, I definitely think they can make it to the college football playoff. But I'm certainly not going to be thinking that money's in hand for sure.
Yeah, it's looking a little rough. All right, we talked a little bit already about LSU taking down Auburn. That was a great game. Hopefully you got to see that just early on. LSU jumped out. In fact, I resisted the urge to text you at that moment when they were up big early. They did. They ended up giving up that lead. And then, but they came back. I mean, Auburn was up and they were up in that game 21-10, I think. So LSU just kind of inched their way back in it and then hit the big field goal, unlike the pro kickers. So, I mean, they made it happen. I heard somebody told me that the Carlson kid from Minnesota, his brother is the kicker for Auburn, who missed the kick.
Oh, really? That's very interesting.
Rough weekend for that team.
Yeah, the Carlson family will be out in the backyard kicking field goals, practicing.
That's right. You got Boise State. Yeah, we were talking about this game last week, Boise State at Oklahoma State. It was looking pretty good for the first half into the third quarter there, but Boise got rolled late, and it was ugly. It got ugly really fast in that game.
I was interested to see that line just move in crazy wild directions. By kickoff, the Oklahoma State Cowboys were favored and then were pushed to 2.5-point underdogs by the time the game kicked off.
Yeah.
And a couple of huge special teams play really helped the Cowboys to victory. And really, if you look at the box score, it was probably a lot closer than that final score indicates.
Yeah, like you said, I think the score was within a score, maybe, 4 or 5 points or something. And all of a sudden, those big plays happen and... Yeah, the Broncos were done.
I heard an audio clip from Coach Mike Gundy this week asking about the Boise State backers. And, he made reference to all of the people who wagered on Boise State and said that he feels sorry for them.
He's talking to you, America. So how about your Florida State Seminoles? We actually have a member of the Shocker football team that is a big Syracuse guy. We were at the bar when this was happening. Man, Florida State stinks.
They were bad in the first half, especially. They couldn't move the ball. They couldn't get the ball into the red zone. And Syracuse just went up and down the field on them. I think they were up 3-0 at the end of the first quarter, and it could have easily been 21-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all day long, Syracuse was doing whatever they wanted on the defense. And, this team was ranked in the top 25, obviously, mistakenly. And you've got them ranked in the S&P Plus at 114th, is that right?
Their offense is 114th out of 130 teams. They have no offensive line play, and their new coordinator, Walt Bell, just looks lost.
Yeah, they got to go back to the drawing board on this one. This season is basically slipping away completely. They can bounce back and make a bowl game, but they're not going to be contenders in the ACC now. They've already lost a couple games.
Yeah, I'm not going to be betting on it, but I'm interested to see this weekend as they host Northern Illinois, 10-point favorites now, and Northern Illinois is no slouch.
They always have a good program. They're always tough. They've played big programs before, so yeah, that's a good angle right there. And then the Purdue Boilermakers, huh?
Yeah, it was a great game, Missouri and Purdue. There was a late-night shootout. As I mentioned earlier, Purdue put over 600 yards against that Paper Tiger defense. Dang. And David Blough had 572 through the air, a new university record.
But they couldn't hold on. I thought they were going to do it there for a minute. But yeah, Missouri still, they were lighting it up. They were able to come back and win the game.
Yeah, the one takeaway I have from this one is Missouri's poor defense. They're 83rd now in the S&P Plus on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who they have this week, Wegs?
I'm not sure.
The Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, boy.
One of the best offenses in the nation, and I'm looking for some points in that one.
Yeah, Georgia's going to roll. They're going to roll in that game for sure. So when we looked at the S&P Plus this week, we've got a few notes here. Memphis up to 11. They are really kind of streaking up this list. I mean, I'd like to see them play. I mean, they don't play a ton of big-name teams, but they could be an outside contender to make a push. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we watched them light up the scoreboard on Friday night. Granted, it was against Georgia State, but right. Their offense is formidable, and I'm interested to see how they play over the next few weeks. Yeah. After them, you've got Indiana moving up 21 spots into the number 23rd position.
I think that's one of your teams from your childhood. I like them this week. We'll talk about that later in head-to-head. And then I also noticed, yeah, Auburn, you have somehow they moved up even despite the loss, and LSU moved down. What you got to understand is this is a measure of both offensive and defense efficiency. So LSU obviously fell because their offense is so bad. Their defense is like number six. But yeah, Missouri moved up. They're still a tough team, but as you said, it's going to be nearly impossible for them to go into the playoff or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Missouri is another one that I noted. They actually dropped 13 spots down to number 29 despite the victory at Purdue.
Yeah, so the S&P Plus is more, like I said, a measure of efficiencies. You're going to see that fluctuation, especially early on. It's not necessarily a measure of wins. And I think that that's something you got to keep in mind when you're looking at these matchups for betting purposes. All right, so what are you looking at this week? Which spots do you like?
There's a couple of angles that I picked out of the schedule here that I'd like to hit on. The first one is the Washington Huskies out for revenge against Arizona State in the Fighting Herm Edwards. They knocked them out of the college football playoff last year late in the season, and the betting line tells you all you need to know about this. They're 17-point home favorites against Arizona State.
Yeah, I like that too. Of course, those are my Huskies and Christina Ridgeway's Huskies. They're a good team. They're a good football team. They bounced back, you know, after the early season loss. Arizona State came back to earth last week. They lost to San Diego State. They got to go on the road again. I think you're good in that 17 points there with them.
Yeah, I'll be laying it with the Huskies this week.
All right, we'll go to the Big Ten here. Michigan State, they came off a bye, and here they go. They're seeing your Indiana Hoosiers.
Yeah, speaking of Arizona State, Michigan State football players have probably seething over that bye week loss at Arizona State, and they're coming into Bloomington this weekend to face those 3-0 Indiana Hoosiers.
Yeah, we're going to see what Michigan State's made of in this game. Are they really going to be a contender in the Big Ten or not? I do think Indiana is playing good football, and I'll tell you right now, I like that team a lot that week.
Yeah, we may be talking about this one later on.
All right, what else you got there?
Two spots that I'm looking at are two teams that had big upset wins this weekend in LSU and BYU.
That's right.
They beat Auburn and Wisconsin on the road, respectively. And both of them, although they're playing weaker opponents, I think that they're due for some letdown spots here. LSU is hosting Louisiana Tech, and they're 20.5-point favorites. And I noted that the S&P Plus has this one as only a 16-point difference. I'll be holding out for 21, although I think it's probably going to go the other direction. And worst comes to worst, I'm going to be taking La Tech with the 20.5.
Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty good bet. LSU is not going to score a ton of points. So whenever you see a big line like that, you got to wonder if they can cover that number.
Yeah, and the next game, BYU hosts McNeese State, which is an FCS team. But there's no line out yet, and when it does come out, I'll probably be looking to fade the Cougars in this one, and they're coming down off that high over Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, although I don't know what kind of team McNeese State has, but we'll see.
I'm going to dig into them a little bit before I bet on them.
Okay, do some research. Okay, we also got Georgia at Missouri, as you spoke of before. There's a 15-point line there. What do you like in that matchup?
I was looking at the total on this one, as I mentioned earlier, 64.5 right now.
Okay.
And both teams are in the top 20 on yards per play on offense.
Mm-hmm.
And Missouri's defense is awful. Like we talked about, they just gave up 600 yards to Purdue. And I expect that Georgia is going to put up maybe close to 60 on their own.
Yeah, it could be. I think Purdue scored, what was it, 37 last week? So if Purdue can score 37, Georgia's going to score at least 45, 50 points. So that 64 looks really low.
Mm-hmm.
And then Notre Dame at Wake Forest. Wake Forest is at home. They're getting 8 points. And then the total's 57.5. Where are you looking on that one?
I'm just interested to see what happens with Kendall Hinton's return. A Wake Forest quarterback gets back from injury this week, although it's still unclear as to whether or not he's going to be out there on the field. If he does play, I'm interested to see where this line goes, but probably be on the sidelines for this one.
Probably sit on the sidelines too. Notre Dame hasn't covered the last 2 weeks at home. And it's not that they play for the line, but they've got to play better. So I would guess that they're going to probably try to step up for this game and really try to hit that total. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think Notre Dame actually bounces back in this game.
Yeah, definitely a disappointing performance against Vanderbilt last week for them.
But it won me money. All right, let's look at the NFL now. If you watched the Pittsburgh-Kansas City game, you saw so many points, and both from a fantasy and betting perspective, it was just a galore of points and cash.
Yeah, the totals on Sunday were high-flying, and a lot of it had to do with the quarterback play on Sunday. I picked out an article on Football Outsiders, which talked about the quarterback ratings from Sunday, and every single quarterback on average was better than Aaron Rodgers' career passer rating. So that tells you that the average quarterback on Sunday was better than the most efficient passer in league's history.
It's got to be the rules, right? I mean, there's a couple different things that are happening. One, they're calling all the stuff, defenseless receivers and things like that, that they've done in the past. But they're giving a lot of free plays or extra plays to the offense on this crazy burping rule, the body weight sack rule. And you can see that that's coming into play, that's extending drives, or really in some cases the drive would have been over. I mean, completely over. They would have punted. It gives them the 15 yards. Defense gets let down. They go down the field and score. So yeah, the over is definitely pushing a lot of times.
I'm sure some of it has to do with the rules too. There's also the weather factor that comes into play. Warmer temperatures obviously lead to more passing game efficiency,
right,
and more points on the board.
The other thing is, I'm still going to say it, this is early in the season. The guys aren't conditioned yet. You can see it. The second halves, people are just tired. They're gassed. A lot of teams are choosing to play up-tempo, and that's really hard to keep up for those linemen, those big guys. And you can see that on the field every week.
Another look ahead that I've picked out is Baltimore and Pittsburgh facing off next week in a big divisional game on week four. This week, the Ravens are hosting Denver at home as 4.5-point favorites, and Pittsburgh goes on the road Monday night as short road favorites to Tampa Bay. The look ahead line on that second game was Pittsburgh -4.5, so it's been quite the move down 3 points to the current line of 1.5.
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at this week's matchup, you've got Tampa, who's playing out of their minds right now. Pittsburgh's coming off the loss. They're going to bounce back. But I think what you're saying is the big game against the Ravens is really the big game. So they might be looking past this opponent, and that's probably why that line is dropping.
Yeah, certainly combined with Fitzmagic.
Yeah, he's just playing great. All right, and then the Texans and Colts. That's another divisional matchup in week four. So you're seeing that as another look-ahead game beyond what they're matching up this week.
Yeah, I don't expect that Indianapolis is really going to be in a look ahead, and they're obviously going against Philadelphia and the defending Super Bowl champs on Sunday. But Houston, however, plays a big divisional game against Indianapolis, and they're hosting the New York Giants. Both Philly and Houston are labeled as 6-point favorites at this moment, although I think that Eagles line may be moving towards 7, especially as Wentz gets announced the starter, which happened this morning.
Yeah.
I'm still leaning towards the underdogs in both of these games. I think the Eagles and Texans have been unimpressive so far, especially offensively, and I can't figure out how either of them are such large favorites.
Yeah, it's a tough one. What I will say about the Texans is they haven't won yet. They got to win this week, so they're going to go all in for the win. We know the Giants aren't that great. They're not going to put up a lot of points. The Giants' defense is pretty good. 6 is just a big number for a team that hasn't won a game. So you're probably right there, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Texans do cover that one. Philadelphia, we'll see. We don't know what Wentz is going to be like. He wasn't awesome in the preseason. He's coming off the injury, you know, no contact. What are we going to know? We don't know what he's going to be, and they still have a ton of injuries on that team. They also lost Mike Wallace. He broke his leg. He's out for an indefinite amount of time. They already, you know, Ajayi got dinged up in this game. the champs are not looking so great right now.
Alshon Jeffrey is still yet to play this young season too. And I'll add that Carson Wentz had more than just an ACL. He had some PCL damage in there too, which makes this recovery so much more miraculous, in fact.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite games on the slate this week. Los Angeles Chargers playing at the Los Angeles Rams. The battle for LA. The Chargers went all the way to Buffalo and beat up on the worst, one of the worst teams in the league. I don't know who's worst, Steve, the Bills or the Cardinals?
I would love to see them face off. I think it might end 0-0.
That's the toilet bowl. But yeah, it looks like the Chargers will be going in there. They don't have a lot of fans going to their game, so maybe they'll have some that'll go to the Rams stadium. But yeah, the Rams are just a juggernaut right now, just running through everybody. Should be a great spot, though, for both teams to show what they really are made of.
The Rams are 6.5-point favorites, and the look-ahead line on this one was 5.5, so a slight move in the direction of the LA Rams. However, though, it's through that key number of 6 points, which is becoming even more important as seasons go on. With the extra point being moved back, 6 tends to pop up a lot more than it used to in the past.
That's true. That's true.
And honestly, I'm not really buying into the Rams quite yet. They've played really well, but who have they beaten? Oakland and Arizona?
Right.
Is that anything to write home about?
No, not yet. Not yet. We'll see this week. Now, the Chargers are missing Joey Bosa still. He could be out till October. And their defense, and they gave some points to Buffalo, despite how bad Buffalo is. So I do expect the Rams to still score. I do believe that their defense is for real in for the Rams. So we just got to see how many points the Chargers can put up. The total's 48. We're going to pick that later. I don't know. It'll be an interesting game.
I'm sure hoping that this line reaches 7, because if it does, I'd be happy to jump in on the Chargers.
Okay, good. All right, so now Jacksonville hosts Tennessee. We don't know if Marcus Mariota is going to play again. He warmed up on Sunday, and then he decided, I guess, he's not ready to go.
I've heard some reports that he's having a difficult time gripping the ball, and I think that would obviously limit his ability to play quarterback. So I have a feeling that it's really just going to be a game time decision. It sounds like it may be some ulnar nerve damage there, which is really just 50-50 as to when it comes back.
And Blaine Gabbert, let's face it, it's a revenge game. Revenge game. Jacksonville, that's who drafted him. The Jags are going to crush this team, especially if Mariota doesn't play. You know, I think if he does play, it doesn't matter. Now, the Jags may have a letdown. They just won the big game against the Patriots. So I don't know. A 6.5 may be a big number for them, but I definitely do the under in the total.
Yeah, I would like the under too. I'm not sure what it's set at currently. But as of right now, I don't think there's any line on this game officially. Oh, okay. It looks like it's going to be 6.5, but I expect if Mariota officially gets ruled out, it may tick up quite a bit.
I gotcha. All right, and then the big shootout, at least on the total number, is going to be the Chiefs hosting Jimmy G and the 49ers. It's up to 56. When's the last time you saw a total at 56?
I honestly can't remember one this high. I think the Super Bowl might have been somewhere in that neighborhood.
I think you
not
might be right.
Quite that high. But the Chiefs are 6.5-point favorites, and Jimmy G and the Niners are coming into town.
Yeah, you've got the Chiefs at the 31st ranked defense in the NFL, and obviously they're winning games, but they're winning with the offense and actually special teams. It's just insane right now. I mean, Mahomes is on fire. They're doing everything right. Now, Jimmy G, I know that they can do some offense. I don't think they can keep up with the Chiefs. At 56, though, seems achievable.
Yeah, the Chiefs' defense has given up almost 7 yards per play through 2 games, and their offense is averaging 7.4 yards per play. The ball is going to be going up and down the field in this game. I think the total should be more like 76, but no matter where it is, I'm going to be betting the over.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet for sure. What about Survivor? We gave out some picks last week that definitely came in through with the Rams. This week, the lock seems to be Minnesota, even though they're favored by 17 points over Buffalo. That will be my pick, Steve.
Yeah.
But there's some other options out there.
It's definitely hard to pick a 17-point favorite, knowing that you could save Minnesota for later in the season. But really, the name of the game at this point is just surviving. So if you see a favorite like that, there is no chance that Buffalo can beat Minnesota. That's where my pick is going to be, too, although I would consider Jacksonville as well. However, you did mention they're in a little bit of a letdown spot, so that could be a little scary.
How about the Patriots against the Lions? They're on the road, but they just lost. They don't lose 2 games in a row very often. That could be another spot.
That's true. The Patriots wouldn't be a bad pick, but I, like you, tend to stay away from road teams and survivor pools.
Couple things you didn't have on there that I kind of earmarked. First of all, we didn't mention with the Chargers, if you do like the Chargers, I know you do for your bowl representative.
Yeah, Super Bowl.
Their money line is plus 245. I mean, if they can do an upset on the Rams, that's a good payday. The other one that's kind of interesting is the Saints are plus 145 in their game against Atlanta. The Saints haven't been playing well. Atlanta's obviously doing pretty well at home. We'll see, but that's a much closer game than I would like to see. And 145, you can make some money there.
Yeah, that could be a toss-up. I think you're probably getting some good value there in terms of how many games out of 10 the Saints might beat the Falcons on the road. Mm-hmm. I'll also be looking at the total in that game, too. I think those two offenses are due to put up some points there in the Dome.
Big points, big points. Well, are we ready for our head-to-head segment?
Yeah, let's get to some Side Action Podcast head-to-head. You're now taking a lead of 11-5, and I've got some work to do. But yeah. I like some of these picks this week.
Okay, you feel good about it?
I do.
All right, well, let's start with the first one. We're going to look at Texas A&M going to Alabama. Alabama's really good. Texas A&M is getting 27 points. You know where I'm going. I'm taking the 27 points in A&M.
Yeah, I know that you're historically the underdog better on this podcast, but working. I'm happy to lay 27 with Alabama. I know A&M is 12th in the S&P, but I don't care. They could be second in the S&P, and I'm going to be laying these points with Alabama. They are just unstoppable right now. The one weakness coming into the season was supposed to be their secondary, and after that first play from scrimmage on Saturday, they locked down Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't like any team that's good, like Alabama. That's why I'm America's underdog. But A&M played really good against Clemson. Now, that was at home. I'm just thinking they can keep it closer than 27. I mean, that's almost four touchdowns. So that's my angle on this one.
Okay, best of luck to you or me.
All right, second game, Michigan State at Indiana. This is your childhood team. The Michigan State's favored by 4.5 on the road. What say you?
Well, I know it's going to be a big weekend in Bloomington. They love when the Spartans come to town. However, Michigan State coming off that bye week, I think they're going to be ready to rock and roll on Saturday. And they have a little bit of an edge in the S&P. I know you had done some analysis and you think that Indiana might be the play. But I had this game more closer to a touchdown, 7 or 8, in fact. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take the value with the visiting road favorites, -4.5.
All right, well, I'm going with the Hoosiers. As you mentioned, the S&P Plus, they're only three slots apart from each other. Michigan State has not impressed me this season. I mean, Indiana's playing some good ball, and they're at home. Like you said, the crowd's going to go wild. 4.5, you know, maybe it's not that big of a number, but I think they can keep it within a field goal. All right, our third game, it's the Chargers. They're getting 7 points at the Rams, even though they're both in L.A. But we're actually going to look at the total here. The total is 48 points. What do you like in this one?
Well, it's a little bit off of that key number of 49, but I'm going to be looking for the under in this game. I think the LA Chargers, obviously week one performance against Kansas City was a little bit begging, but and as you mentioned, Joey Bosa is still out. I think the Chargers are going to come to play this weekend in the Battle of LA and really keep that Rams offense in check. The key is to stop Gurley. If you stop Gurley, the Rams offense becomes a little bit more mundane, and the Rams defense obviously is good too, so I look for it to go under.
I think I'm definitely going to go over. I'm good with the over. I think you're looking at the coaching differential here. The talent is actually pretty equal. Bosa's out, but on both sides of the ball, there's a lot of talent. I mean, McVay is the man. He's going to design something. They're going to put up 30 points on this team. It's just whether the Chargers can score the other 18, 19 points to do the over. Our last pick is the Monday night game. It's Fitzmagic hosting Big Ben and Antonio Brown. We didn't talk about that. He was complaining that you should trade me and see what I'll do on the other teams and stuff. So where do you sit on this one, Action?
I'm rolling with Fitzmagic. Like I said, the look-ahead line on this one was Pittsburgh -4.5. And it's bet down to +1 now, Tampa +1. And I think there's good reason for that. Pittsburgh has looked in shambles through 2 weeks. They couldn't hang with Cleveland, and last week they couldn't stop Patrick Mahomes for anything. And I expect Fitzpatrick is going to roll right through that defense again this week.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'll tell you why. The Steelers are now 0-1-1. If they go 0-2-1, I can't see them making the playoffs. They were talking about the stat that teams that go 0-2 are have an 11% chance to make the playoffs. I can't see this team not making the playoffs. So to me, they have to win this game. We've talked about this. Mike Tomlin is a terrible coach. We all know that. If Belichick was in Pittsburgh, they would have won every title the last 10 years. You look at all that talent on that team. So Pittsburgh's got to win this game, and it's obviously only 1 point, so basically almost like a pick-em pick. So I'll take Pittsburgh.
Okay, Tampa Bay is going to be rocking and rolling on Monday night.
All right, you wanted to talk about this Josh Gordon futures in this league, so what do we got?
Well, I saw some odds posted early yesterday morning for where he'll be signed or traded to, and I was hoping we could talk about that, but we missed the window. Everyone knows that he got traded to the Patriots mm-hmm. for a fifth-round pick, and I did see some odds posted on Bet Online on whether or not Josh Gordon will be on the active roster for the Patriots in Week 17. Mm-hmm. You may be surprised to know that no is actually the favorite at minus 160, and yes is a profitable plus 120. What do you think?
Well, I think the no is the pick, and that's why it's the favorite. I mean, the guy can't stand Cleveland. They gave him 3-4 years of chances. The Patriots, if you show up late for a meeting, they'll cut you. I mean, so I can see why people would bet the yes, because you're going to win money. But to me, I don't think he's going to be on the team in 4 or 5 weeks from now.
Yeah, that's probable. Unless Bill Belichick takes him in under his wing and he gives him a guest room in his house.
I mean, the guy's immensely talented, but you got to realize he hasn't even been – he played at that level in 2013. I mean, that's 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's clear the Patriots are grasping at something here, and I'll be interested to see how it turns out. I, as a Colts fan, hope that it turns out horribly and they go down in flames.
As you should. All right, well, let's finish up with the soccer updates. You've got a couple picks in the EPL, or where are we going?
Yeah, one game in the EPL that I'd like to look at. I shall admit that my record in EPL has not been good this year. Okay. And because of that fact, I'm going to scale it back a little bit personally. But there is one game that really jumped out at me, and that's Watford this week going on the road to Craven Cottage to take on Fulham. And I think that goals are going to be in the cards. Both of these teams play a really free-flowing style of attack and like to go after goal, run up and down the field. So I think it's going to be pretty wide open. And I picked out a play of over 3 goals, and you can get that for plus money at plus 120.
Okay.
So that's going to be my play this week. Other than that, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy and try to watch a little bit of soccer and see where we go from here.
Yeah, I mean, you'll bounce back. You know the game. You're doing great.
Yeah. Another couple of things I wanted to mention in college football real quick that we glossed over, and I think both of us were on this game, is Washington State on Friday night traveling to USC. You had done some S&P Plus analysis, and it appears that Wazoo should really be a 3-point favorite on a neutral field. Mm-hmm. So if you take away that home field advantage, which is typically 3, the spread should really be a pick 'em. And right now the line's at Washington State +3.5, and that's really one of my favorite plays for the weekend.
Yeah, I know Matt Stanford, our buddy on the softball team, is going to like this too, but I do agree. I think Washington State's going to – I think they're going to win the game, so I'm going to look at the money line on that as well.
Nice.
So USC hasn't been that great. They were very disappointing at Texas this past weekend. They may try to bounce back, but at the same time, I think they're going to underestimate Washington State. They're not like one of the premier teams in the Pac-12. I like that team 100%.
The next game I wanted to pick out was Nebraska at Michigan. Michigan's an 18.5-point favorite as of now. And as we mentioned earlier, Nebraska quarterback Adrian Martinez is still questionable with that knee injury. And if he is ruled out again this week, I don't see how any way that Nebraska is going to score against Michigan, let alone cover 18.5 points. I'm looking at the under in this game, 48-49, and I'll be on Michigan as well as the 3-touchdown favorite.
Yeah, you know, on the S&P Plus, as much as I dog the khakis and my guy, Jim Harbaugh, that team can play great defense. So you're right on that analysis. Nebraska looks bad, too. Yeah, the S&P Plus, they're still a top 10 team. So Michigan may be surprising me in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Another look-ahead spot that we didn't mention earlier in the big upset category was North Texas. Mm. They went into Arkansas last weekend and beat an SEC team. Did you see the fake fair catch play?
Oh, that was so cool. He just kind of stood there, let everybody walk off, and he ran for the touchdown.
Yeah, it was very sweet. But North Texas plays a game Liberty team this weekend on the road. And right now, Liberty is listed as a 14-point underdog. Two touchdowns is a little bit too much in this game. And Liberty have actually played pretty well the first couple of weeks. And I'll be looking to grab those two scores against North Texas.
Sounds like a good bet. I will have to say that Arkansas win for CSU isn't looking so great now.
Yeah.
This was episode 5 of the Site Action Podcast. Thanks for joining us. As we've asked before, please rate the podcast. Spread it around to your friends. Retweet it when we send it out. We're trying to get the word out, get some more followers. Follow us on Twitter at Site Action Pod. You can follow me personally at Wegspool.
And you can follow me at 31S Roberts. I'd like to thank you all again for listening to us. Really enjoy this, and I hope you all are too. The loyal listeners that have stuck with us, if you could help us by spreading the word, retweeting, posting, rating, subscribing, unsubscribing, providing comments for us, we love to see all of it. So thank you all.
And most importantly, let's win some money this weekend.
Yeah, let's get after it. Get some side action. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. License under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.